त्रिभुवनात्म भवन त्रिविक्रम त्रिनयन त्रिलोक मनोहारन भाव तथैव विभूतयो दितिज धनुजादयस्ते चापि तेषाम् उपकर्म समयोऽयम् इति स्वात्ममायया सुरनवर मृगमिश्रित जलचराकृतिभिर् यथापरारम् दन्दं दन्ददर दरत एवम् एनमपि भगवन् जहि त्वाष्ट्रम् उत यदि मन्यसे. Zijn de woordvoerassen? De woordvoering. Tribhuvanatma Bhavana. O Lord, you are the shelter of the three worlds. Because you are the super soul of the three worlds. Trivikrama. O Lord, you assume. Who assumes? The form of Vamana, your power and opulence are distributed throughout the three worlds. Trinayana, O maintainer and seer of the three worlds. Triloka, Manohara, Anubhava, O you who are perceived as the most beautiful within the three worlds. Tava, of you. Eva, certainly. Vibhutayaha, the expansions of energy. Ditija, Danuja, Adayaha, the demoniac sons of Diti, and Danavas, another type of demon. Cha, and Api, also the human beings. Tesham, of all of them. Upakrama Samayaha, the time of enterprise. Ayam, this. Iti, does. Svaatma Mayaya, by your own energy. Suranara, Mriga Mishrita, Jalachara, Akriti Bihi, with different forms, like those of demigods, human beings, animals, mixtures and aquatics. The incarnations Vamana, Lord Ramachandra, Krishna Varaha, Hayagriva, Nisima Matsya, and Kurma. Yatha Aparadam, according to their offenses. Dandam, punishment. Dandadara, O Supreme Chastiser. Dadartha, you have ever did. Evam, does. Enam, this one. Vritasura. Api, also. Bhagavan, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jahi, kill. Tvashtram, the son of Tvashta. Uta, indeed, yadi manyase, if you think it proper. O Lord, translation should be proper. O Lord, O personified three worlds, father of the three worlds, O strength of the three worlds, in the form of Vamana incarnation, three-eyed Lord Nishimadev, O most beautiful person with the three worlds, within the three worlds. Everything and everyone, including the human beings and even the deity demons are, and the Danavas, is but an expansion of your energy. O Supreme Personal, O Supremely Powerful One, you have always appeared in your forms as various incarnations to punish the demons as soon as they become very powerful. You appear as Vamanadev, Lord Rama, and Lord Krishna. You appear sometimes as an animal like a boar. sometimes mixed incarnations like Lord Narasimhadev and Lord Hayagriva, and sometimes as an aquatic, like Lord Fish and Lord Tortoise. Assuming such various forms, you have always punished the Nimbons and Danavas. We therefore pray that your lordship appear today and as another incarnation, if you so desire to kill the great demon, Vritasura. Prabhupada Bhashila Prabhupada. There are two kinds of devotees, known as Sakama and Akama. Pure devotees are Akama, whereas devotees in upper planetary systems, such as the demigods, are called Sakama because they still want to enjoy material opulence. Because of their pious activities, the Sakama devotees are prompted to have higher planetary systems, but at heart, they still desire to lord over the material resources. The Sakama devotees are sometimes disturbed by the demons and Rakshasas, but the Lord is so kind that he always saves them by appearing as an incarnation. The Lord's incarnations are so powerful that the Lord Vamanadev covered the entire universe with two steps, and therefore he had no place for his third step. The Lord is called Trivikrama because he showed his strength by delivering the entire universe with merely three steps. The difference between Sakama and Akama devotees is that when Sakama devotees, like demigods, fall into difficulty, they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for relief, whereas Akama devotees, even in greatest danger, never disturb the Lord for material benefits. Even if an Akama devotee is suffering, he thinks this is due to his past impious activities and agrees to suffer the consequences. He never disturbs the Lord. Sakama devotees immediately pray to the Lord as soon as they are in difficulty, but they are regarded as pious because they consider themselves fully dependent on the mercy of the Lord, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text 8. Tattenu kampam susamikshyamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam ridvava pubir vidaran manamaste jivetayo mukti pade sadaya vak. Even by suffering in the midst of difficulties, devotees simply offer their prayers and service more enthusiastically. In this way, they become firmly fixed in devotional service and eligible to return home back to Godhead without doubt. Sakama devotees, of course, achieve from the Lord the result they desire from their prayers, but they do not immediately become fit to return to Godhead. It is to be noted herein that Lord Vishnu, in his various incarnations, is always the protector of his devotees. Srimad Vachar says, Vividam Bhava Partatvat Sarve Vishnu Vibhutayaha. Krishna is the original person of Godhead, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. All the other incarnations proceed from Lord Vishnu. So the whole thing begins with Vishwarupa. Vishwarupa is performing a sacrifice for the demigods, and then Indra kills him because he offers oblations to the demigod, the demons also. Although Indra was warned by Brahma. Brahmaji told him that it might happen because he has family relations also in the demon side. So then he killed Vishwarup because of that. So then he felt bad about it because he did some mistake. We can see he doesn't want Vritasura to be killed at this time. Although he's an enemy and he's supposed to kill him. He's born to kill him actually. Vritasura born to kill Indra. During the Yajna, when his father Tvashtra performed the Yajna, he offered oblations, Indra Shatru Yavarasva, means, O Indra Shatru, you might arise from the fire. So he came from the fire to kill Indra. That was his destiny. That's why he born. And Indra was seeing his enemy, he felt one way he has felt compassion to him. Other side also he did feel bad that he already killed Vishwarup, and he didn't want to kill also Vritasura. He thought it's not the right thing to do. The karma is coming to him, so it should be either Krishna take care or just whatever happens, it should happen. It's rather than to again kill him like that. So he told, asked praying to Lord Krishna like this way, that if you so desire to kill the demon, then please do it. If you so desire. Not that please kill him. If you so desire. So he said that if you think that fits for him to be killed, then please take care of it. Please kill him. But if there's any other way, then please don't. So other important point Srila Prabhupada makes in the purport here, that even the Sakama devotees, they approach Krishna as taking Krishna as the protector, the ultimate protector. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sharanagati songs, he mentions six things, and one of them is Abhasharak Shibi Krishna Vishvasa Palana. That Krishna will always protect us. This faith we have to always nourish in our heart. That Krishna is a protector, not somebody else. Because ultimately, who can protect us? Only Krishna. Nobody else can protect. So Indra also understood that. And then, of course, he's going to Krishna. Certainly he has to go to Krishna to get protection. And even in spite, Indra had this guilt in his heart that, okay, I killed this great sage, Vishwarupa, the son of Tvashta. So then, he had this guilt. Even then he went to Krishna for protection. Sometimes we get into a situation like that, that we do something abominable or not so good thing. And then we feel shame to go in front of the deities. Oh my God, I did such a bad thing. And I cannot go in front of the deities. And then, but then where can we go? Do we have any other option? And on the other side, will Krishna forgive us? Will Krishna forgive us and still be kind to us? The answer is yes, because he already got used to it. He already doing this kind of nonsense for so many lifetimes. So Krishna already got used to it. Krishna will always forgive. But of course, this shouldn't be our mood. That, oh, we can do as much nonsense as we want. Krishna will always forgive. Like the Christians, we go to Sunday, Sunday is coming, we can get everything forgiven. No, it shouldn't be like, the mood shouldn't be that. Mood should be that we want to please Krishna, and we don't want to displease him. Two elements of smarta vyasatata Vishnu, vismarta vyasatata jatuchit. Always remember Krishna, and never forget him. That always please him, and never displease him. Always find a way how to do even the most difficult things. Like, for example, killing a Brahmana. Yeah? There was a story with Arjuna that he had to kill Ashwatthama. Because Draupadi said, who killed my sons, they should also die. Okay, so Arjuna said, okay, it will be done. Then after that, Draupadi says, oh, please don't kill him because I'm feeling bad, my sons are dead. I don't want creepy Ashwatthama's mother to feel the same way. So please don't kill him. Now that Arjuna made a promise that he will kill. So now Draupadi says, don't kill. So what to do? So now in this situation, Arjuna has to use his brain, has to use intelligence, yes. And Krishna is helping him also. So okay, so shave him. Shave his hair, cut his jewel out from his forehead, and it's as bad as killing him, but you didn't kill him. You spared his life, so his mother won't feel the loss of child. So like that. So always have to find the right way to do. Shouldn't displease Krishna. Because Krishna also, when he comes to the material world, he does all kinds of things, all kinds of pastimes he performs, but never deviates from Dharma. Never. It just in no circumstance he does that. Religion or the Vedas is always maintained. Everything done according to how it's supposed to be done. Krishna always finds the way. Lord Brahma gives benediction to Hiranyakashipu, Krishna finds the way. He cannot die in the sky, cannot die on the earth, cannot die inside, outside, not by animal, not by a human. So basically no chance for him to die. Krishna finds the way. Always finds the way. He always finds the way out of every situation. That was a the argument of Shakuni. What Vidura does, I understand everything and I can get take care of it. But what Krishna does, he's very sneaky, like that. That's what Shakuni said when he was telling Duryodhana. Krishna has to be very careful. Krishna came to the court, to Duryodhana's court, and trying to mediate the two armies. There must be something. Be careful. Krishna does something, always something funny. So like that. Krishna always finds a way out. So similar way, we also have to find a way out, because we represent Krishna. We're coming in the parampara. Krishna is the beginning of parampara, and we also in the parampara. And we have to always represent Krishna, Lord Krishna. Because if you're not, then we're displeasing him, and displeasing Srimati Radharani. That is called aparada, against Srimati Radharani. That is aparada. So we have to always avoid this kind of behavior and things. So Indra, even in such a situation, he approached Krishna. He displeased Krishna by killing Vishwarupa. So in this, even in spite he displeased him, he's still going to Krishna. Oh Krishna, please forgive me because I have really nowhere to go. And please take care of this demon if you think it should be done. Interesting thing to notice that he approaches Krishna as a Vamana, which is very interesting. Because Vamana, there's a shloka in the Yajurveda. It mentions that he called him Ahim Bunyam Anuriyamana. Ahim Bunyam is the leader of the demons. Anuriyamana, he got rid of him in such a way that didn't hurt him. Means he chastised him, he took away everything from him, he totally humiliated him, but he didn't kill him. And he gave him bhakti. Shloka actually says that he gives him bhakti. In the Veda actually mentions it. Nearly to find something like that it mentions in the Veda so explicitly. But he mentions that he said give him, he made him into his devotee. Not just changed his whole inclination, his direction in life, but he also made him pure devotee. Not just stopped him being nonsense, but made him pure devotee. Which actually, he got more. Also we can see Vridasura also, same thing happens to him. That Indra, he gets his kingdom back, his whole heavenly planets and his enjoyment and whatever else. But, what Vridasura he get? He goes to Vaikuntha. He gets darshan of Lord, he goes to Vaikuntha. Straight away he goes to Vaikuntha. Also the same shloka mentions, also here mentions the Trivikram element of Lord Vamana is a Trivikrama. Means he had three steps. The first step, he steps on the earth. And the shloka actually mentions, and also the commentary of the shloka mentions in the Veda regarding the same Trivikrama, that the first step he stepped on the earth, and why? Because earth went to Lord Krishna, please protect us, protect me, you know, because I'm tortured by these demons. So Vishnu Himati put his feet on it to give her shelter. That making the, she's the first, number one priority, the earth. So Krishna put his, Bhudevi is Lord Varaha's consort, wife. So then he put his feet first. So Bhudevi was happy that she got the first priority, and then that was the first thing Krishna does, immediately taking care of her. The second, he covered the whole universe with second step. So then immediately exhibited such a power that nobody can have. With the second step, he covered the whole universe. And the third step, then of course, stepped on Bali Maharaj's head and then pushed him down to Patala and give him devotion to his lotus feet. And all these things made Bhudevi, the earth, very happy. And actually, Ashoka mentions that he conquered his heart. That was the third step, Vikrantamasi. That's the third one. You are Vikrantam, is totally conquered. So that means he conquered Bhudevi's heart with his third step. So mentioned that how skillfully Krishna does things. Not just, you know, taking care of some demon and then make him, besides taking care of the demon, removing him from the position to make disturbance for the devotees, but also make him devotee. And on top of it, he conquers the heart of the devotees also, to make them inspired. There's another shloka regarding Trivikrama avatar. In Rig Veda, he says that in Vishusuktam, we chant it on during elephant procession, this shloka. He says, Vishnu Karmani Pasheta Yato Vartani Paspashe Indas Yurja Saka. He says, oh look at Indas small friend, means Trivikrama is Indra's small friend, small brother. So then he says, look at Indra's small friend, what he does. He says, he performs different kinds of activities, and with that, those activities in the Vedas, then he enters into samskaras in our day-to-day life. When we do our, let's say, getting married, or do the different samskaras for children, then we chant these different shlokas, and in these different shlokas, Krishna's pastimes are coming in. And different pastimes are being mentioned there. For example, Adivas, this shloka what I mentioned first, this is Adivas. It's when we chant, when we talk about the stone, when we take a stone, and then we chant this shloka. So these pastimes of Krishna entering in our life, even in our, let's say, material life also. Because the material life becomes spiritualized by this, by Krishna's pastimes. Other thing, they brought up this Lord Krishna's Rishi Mahadev in the shloka. That's also important, because Rishi Mahadev is very, very famous avatar of Krishna, who gets rid of demons, especially the very big ones, like Hiranyakashipu. So he takes care of Rishi Mahadev. So he comes as Rishi Mahadev and kills the demon. And then he's very kind to the, on the same time, very kind to the devotees. Because a lion is very kind to his cub. So he picks up a cub by the same mouth what he grabs his enemies. So he picks up the cub very softly, very fine, very nicely, and then and takes him here and there. That's how he takes care of his cubs. But the same jaws, the same teeth, is very fearful for those who are not his cub. Those who are his enemies, then don't mess around with this fellow. This is a very dangerous fellow. So Indra brings up this mood that please, he's a demon, so please take care of him as you did for Hiranyakashipu, and be kind to us as you did to Prahlad, like that. So therefore he brings a mood of Rishi Mahadev. We call a mood of Rishi Mahadev from, invoke this mood of Rishi Mahadev from Krishna here. And immediately after that he calls him beautiful, because actually Rishi Mahadev was mentioned as Tvashta, or very scary, very fear, scary this, yeah? When you look at him, he's like very, make you very scared, fearful. So then, he's very scary because he's dealing with such a situation, of dealing with a demon, and making the demons, they mentioned actually there's a shloka that even the demon's wives, they lose their pregnancy, because he was so fearful, of people scary, yeah? So terrible to look at. But then immediately he calls him beautiful to take that fear, what was in Indra's heart, to please Krishna, look, please look nice, and then don't make us scary. Because actually when Rishi Mahadev came, at that time he killed Hiranyakashipu, he was standing there. And then all the demigods, they went and started throwing flowers for Rishi Mahadev, and then wanted to go and pray. Oh Rishi Mahadev, please. Thank you very much for removing this big burden from the universe, this big thorn, anybody's big problem. And then, when it happened, the Rishi Mahadev just roared at them. And they just immediately back up, oh, wait a second, what's going on, you know? Please don't kill us, you know? we are nice guys here, you know? Please don't kill us, you know? We are your devotees. And they said, Lakshmiji, please, you are is your husband, you know? Please go and pacify him. And Lakshmiji said, I don't know who is he. He's not my husband. My husband is very nice, soft, and like that. And I know who is he, you know. I don't know who is he. So then, send Prahlad, you know. So Prahlad went there, and then prayed to Lord Nishamadev. Then after that, when Prahlad Maharaj prayed to Lord Nishamadev, he was pacified. Then all the other demigods could come. Of course, there's a story with, he was then, when Prahlad Maharaj pacified Lord Nishamadev, then the mood was still kind of like, a little bit tense, so the demigods were scared to go. And then Ganesh went there. Ganesh is very famous devotee of Lord Rishi Mahadev. And then he also very famous of riding on a mouse. So he's coming on a mouse, trying keeping balance, coming close. And when he goes close to Rishi Mahadev, then he offers obeisances. And then of course when he offers obeisances, he falls over. He falls off the mouse. And then Rishi Mahadev starts laughing, cracking up, ha ha ha, laughing so much. And all of them he goes, ah, so. And then the mood became soft again. So then all demigods comes and also pray to Lord Nishamadev. Johnny should have even done it with offering prayers. So then he becomes nice. So then the Indra immediately brings this point. Oh, please, you are most beautiful in the whole universe. So be nice. Don't be scary like that. Other point it mentions in the shloka that Krishna takes all kinds of various, different kinds of forms. In Vrindavan pastimes also, but also when in general pastimes, in different avatars, for different purposes he comes differently. To deal with Hiranyakashipu, he comes as a fearful lion. To deal with Varahadev, Bhuvi, when she falls into the ocean, Garbhodaka ocean, and deal with Hiranyaksha, then he comes as Varahadev, as a boar. Because he has to dig up the ocean, the mud. So the mud, pig is very good in that. Pig form is very good for digging up the mud. So picking up the earth from the mud was very special like that. So it picked that form, which is most suitable for that particular activity, what it does. And then in both case, why deal with a demon, so then he has to show extreme, I call it heroism, that he's not scared at all dealing with a fearful situation. And then Simham, they say Simham Ashatrubhayadam. A lion is who doesn't know what is fear, doesn't know what is the fear of enemy. There's no enemy in the universe which can make lions scared, that they say like that. And Nishamadev is scared. So Nishamadev is, that's how he is, he comes as a lion, so because no enemy can make him scared. And the boar is also have a similar quality, that there's also, doesn't get scared. Maybe he gets discouraged for some time, he goes around and comes back on the other side, he just gets his speed and just go for the enemy. That's how he fights. A boar fights like that, he just, like a cannonball, he just goes straight and just hits whatever it is, you know. Not mind to, if somebody climbs on the tree, he shakes the tree until the person falls off. Whatever he can do, he just works until he gets it done. That is a boar. A boar is a very persistent creature. So then he came in that particular shape. And then he came as a turtle when the Mandara mountain was rotating during the churning of the milk ocean. Because that was the most suitable. The turtle's back is very hard. So that was the most suitable form to come. Matsya to drive the Chakshu Shamanu through the ocean of the material existence and actually take him to dry land after that to establish him. So he came in different forms. Of course, we cannot take different forms, but we have to understand that we should also adjust to the situation. Krishna adjusts to that degree, we also have to adjust to situation. Krishna adjusts to the different situations, he doesn't change his nature of following religion. Krishna does, he follows his religion, his duty in any circumstance. We have to do the same, but when situation comes, Krishna adjusts to the situation. Not compromising on his principles or principles of religion, but he adjusts to please the devotees, feed the purpose, and like that. So we also have to learn how to adjust in the same way how Krishna did. Other point mentions also here in the shloka that even the demons and the rakshasas and whatever else, all these different creatures, human beings, everybody is Krishna's expansion. So Indra acknowledged that, and he emphasized it also, that everybody is Krishna's expansion, so we should treat everybody that way. So please don't kill him if you don't need to. Up to you, if you think this should be killed, this demon, then you do it. But if not, then please, don't, because he's also your expansion and like that. So same way, we have to also do the same thing. We have to see everybody as a Krishna's expansion. So when we preach, of course, we have been preaching to a person like that. And then, sometimes we get to situations where situation gets a bit heated. For example, there's some argument or some fight. We still have to maintain formality, informal situation, or even in wild situation when things go wrong, or when things going in a argument, we still have to maintain formality. Still, as a devotee, as a person, as a devotee of Lord Krishna, or a person is a person who is No, he also devotee of Lord Krishna, but he doesn't know maybe. So we have to represent Lord Krishna in that way, that we're not going to call a person bad names or whatever else. Not being envious at the person, to the person, not wishing something bad to a person, even if he's our enemy. For example, Indra here, this person born, Vidyasura born to kill him, was a natural enemy. For sure, he will try to kill him. But still, he didn't want him to suffer. If he doesn't need to be killed, then spare him. If he think that he is fit to be killed, then please kill him. That was his mood. So we have to maintain that mood. Bhagavatam teaches us by example here. Indra, he was in a very difficult situation, and even in that situation, he maintained that principle, that mood of devotee. So it's very important to maintain that in our interactions also. Last point I wanted to make here is that we can request the Lord to, even if we Sakama devotees, we never demand from Lord Krishna. We never blame him. Oh Krishna, why it happened to me like this? How come I lost this? How come I lost that? How come my son died? How come this happened? How come that happened? We never blame him because we are his devotee. We are his servant. If he thinks that what should happen to us, and that's the best for us, or if it's just we take it as our reactions to our sinful activities, we can never blame him and never can demand from him, oh Krishna, I want this. No, it doesn't work like that. If you think, if you so desire, then I may get it. Like that. That should be our mood. Not that, oh Krishna, I want this, I want that. Like the Prabhupada mentions, Hindus. Like that. So I want this, I want that. No. If you so desire and you think that I'm eligible for it, then please, may I have it. That should be the Sakama devotee's approach to things, not I want this, I want that. Anybody has some comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
I was just going to ask about your last statement. If you so desire it and you're eligible for it, why do you have to bother asking at all?
No,
if you so desire it and you're eligible for it, seems that you don't have to bother asking at all.
No, but see, if Krishna so desires that I would get it, then I would get it. Of course, the thing with the whole thing is that Krishna will take care anyway. We don't have to ask. That's Nishkama's devotee's viewpoint. What's the point of the asking? Krishna will give anyway. But the Sakama devotees, they still ask. Because the Sakama devotees, that's the difference. Prabhupada mentions, Sri Prabhupada mentions that they have material, they still want to enjoy the material world, still want to control a little bit. So therefore the Sakamas. Therefore they get to the heavenly planets and they get different positions. Like that. But if Nishkama devotees, yeah, that's the Nishkama mood. Krishna will take care anyway. Abhasharuk Shibe Krishna. Krishna will certainly protect. He will give whatever I need. And that's it. Krishna mentions in the Gita, I will bring whatever they need and I preserve whatever they have. That Krishna mentions in the Gita. Yeah, no, it's one of the main shlokas. That's one. Anyway. Okay. Anybody has any other question? Of course. Yes,
please. To expand this question,
yes.
Then the mood of prayer, then how is it to develop? Because actually we really are, as the devotees, are meant of course to depend on him, right? But we also have this the chance to give a prayer to him in order for him to approach us. So if we can develop that, how is it?
Okay, see, prayers, you can, of course, you can always ask blessings. Oh Krishna, please help me, you know, I'm going to give Bhagavatam class today, and then please Krishna help me, give me your blessings so I can present the parampara as 100%, not going to be, I call it, putting my own interpretations into the things. So please Krishna, give your blessings. So that's the right thing to say. If you have any difficulty, of course, even if you see bridge buses also, they do ask Krishna, Krishna, please protect us. You know, this big demon, this demon came, or that demon came. Krishna, please protect us. Or the coward boy said, oh, Krishna, you know, we went nearby that forest called Talavan, you know, and such a nice fragrance coming out of that place, you know, the big tar fruits are there, you know, and then, oh, we would like to taste those fruits. Let's go. But there's a big demon there, you know. It's Dhenakasura. Oh, please, you have to come, you have to take care of the guy there, you know. Let's go and eat some fruits. So you can see, even if it happens also there, so it's okay. But you have to see, Prabhupada mentions, doesn't disturb Lord Krishna with material things like that. You know, we don't want to disturb him. But in, if like in this case, for example, it was a pastime, you know, so Krishna could go and take care of that pastimes. So, you can ask Janaswami, maybe you can mention more about of prayers, how to pray to Krishna. You can see also Kunti Devi also, how she prays to Lord Krishna. And you can see there are many prayers in the Bhagavatam. In fact, the whole Bhagavatam is prayers, basically. So then, you can see also the Indra is praying. You can always take prayers from them, and then based on that, you can also pray to Lord Krishna, like that. Yes.
Hare Krishna. So what kind of devotee is Bhumi Devi? Because she's asking Krishna for help on quite a few occasions.
She's a pure devotee because, see, she is a consort of a Lord. She is Lakshmi Devi's expansion. So she is a pure devotee. She has a duty to perform, so then asking Krishna for, how you call it, helping him with that, helping her with that. That is his duty, to take care of the, maintain the earth. Earth is everything going on perfectly. That is her duty. She is the in charge, the deity of the earth. So then, that is her duty. So Krishna is helping her with that. She can approach Lord Krishna for protection. That is all right for her.
So we can also approach the Lord for protection and help?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Sharangati song, actually he says, we have to approach Krishna for protection. And in fact, we have to approach only basically Krishna for that. That is his Avashya Rukshibi Krishna Bishasha Palan. That's one of the six items what the devotees must nourish. Out of the Sharanagati, there are six items. The one of them is this. Yes. What is the problem? Yes. Oh, Aleph. Okay, after. Next one.
I had two questions. They'll be quick. The first one is, you mentioned that Dhritarasura was born to kill Indra. But during the previous verses, we covered that Twashta made a mistake when he recited the mantra. So therefore, Dhritarasura was born to be killed by Indra. So I was wondering if you could elaborate on why you made that, if there was some other reason. And in the verse, the translation refers to Lord Nrisimhadeva as having three eyes. Could you elaborate as to why that is being said in the verse? This is two.
Okay, three eyes. Generally, the third eye is related to anger. That's why the third eye. If you see, this is like Lord Shiva has third eye. Durga, when she's fighting with Mahishasura, then she has third eye. And then Lord Nrisimhadeva, when he's fighting with this Hiranyakashipu, then there's a third eye. Like that. So, sometimes is mentioned, sometimes is not. Different kalpas, probably different way. Like that. Like that. The third eye. Other one was? Other question was?
I understood that Dhritarasura was born to be killed by Indra.
Yeah. Okay, the mistake was made, but the mood was, and the mission of the person was like that. The mistake was killed, so therefore he couldn't accomplish it, because the mistake was made. But the mood of his father when he did the yagya was that to kill Indra. So then his inspiration was to kill Indra. He won't succeed because there was a mistake in the shloka. Because he chanted the first accent high. So it was Indra Shatruvivara, so I made it long. That's why that was a mistake. Otherwise it should have been Indra Shatruvivara, so last one should have been go up, not the first one. That was a mistake. So because of that, then of course, Vedic mantras are like that. If it's not properly chanted, then doesn't give the result, or gives a wrong result. Like that. have to be very careful with Vedic mantras. That's why in Kali Yuga is mentioned to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because over there is no question. He says, the Shloka says, even if Sanketyam Paryasyam Vastavam Hilanam Eva, by different way somebody may chant the holy name, by making a joke, or by indicating something else, or just singing, or just whatever, is still going to give Vaikuntha, gives liberation. Maybe it doesn't give bhakti, but it gives liberation. Bhakti comes when somebody chants it pure devotion. When somebody is chanted out of devotion, then gives bhakti. But just chanting without any devotion, it gives mukti already. So like that. Yes, who? Oh, yeah.
About Sakama and Nishkama, mm-hmm. Is it that Krishna provides for both of them same, but only the angle how they look on it is different?
Krishna always provides everything for everybody, because that's what he does. Even the birds and everybody gets food protection and everything, whatever they need. They get food every day, they get place to stay every day, and like that. Of course, sometimes maybe they have to work for it, but that's how it is. Krishna provides for everybody. The difference between Sakama and Nishkama is that Sakama, he thinks that is because he asked for it, that's why he has it. And a Nishkama, or the Akama, then they know that Krishna is doing it anyway. It's Krishna is taking care. So that's the difference. Other difference also that the Nishkama devotees, they get full benefit of whatever Krishna gives, because they allow Krishna to give. And the Sakama devotees, they specify, I want this. And I don't want this. You see? So because he doesn't want that, so then Krishna's become limited by that. That they don't want it, okay, so okay, don't want it, then I'll give you. Like that. So there's a limitation because of devotion of the devotee, because of the immaturity of the devotee. Not because Krishna cannot give. There's a saying, Hari has 8 hands. He can give whatever he wants, he can take whatever he wants. What can you do with your 2 hands? Like that, yeah? They say there's a saying like that. So, but the thing is that if you don't want to take, then Krishna is not going to force himself. Krishna doesn't force himself on us. Never. In no situation Krishna forces himself on a devotee. That's the whole point of devotee. That's why it's a free will. Devotee, as much as somebody surrenders, Krishna reciprocates it that much, that degree. Krishna doesn't come and push.
Protection and with providing these things, and because like we have our karma as well, mm-hmm. And I heard from seniors and from authorities that because we know that Krishna is like taking care for his devotees, mm-hmm. But then I heard that he's taking 100% care for those who are 100% surrendered, and if you are surrendered 50%, that 50% is your karma and 50% is Krishna's care. So mm-hmm. How is it with these prayers for protection and then, let's say, for things? How is it combined with...
See, some things are material, so that they are dealt through the material system. And something which is spiritual is taken care of by spiritual system. Okay? So, for example, your surrender to Krishna is basically shouldn't be dependent on material things. You know? Or Krishna's protection shouldn't be dependent on material things. But... material things like your karma, for example, if you unplug the fan, it's still spinning for some time, you know. So as it will spin down and the end of the life is finished and you go back to Gata. So then the karma will be managed by Krishna, so then it works out such a way that it fits your development. And in fact, on the other side also, karma is our attachment, because when actually chanted Hare Krishna one time, your karma is gone. So what left is your attachment. Okay, so then as much as you're giving up your attachment and you're surrendering to Krishna, that much the influence of material energy will decrease and becomes nothing. So as much as you give to Krishna, that how much Krishna can actually take you. I hope it's... yeah?
Hare Krishna. Just about the Akama devotee, a pure devotee. The pure devotee still makes plans and endeavors, mm-hmm. for some desired result. How does that differ from the Sakkama devotee?
Purpose is different. One is selfish, one is selfless. One is for Krishna's pleasure, one is for some extent our pleasure. Or Krishna's pleasure, but in the way how we like it. Krishna's pleasure, but how we like it. Okay, for example, let's say something simple. Okay, spiritual master says, you go to the shop and bring some boga for the deities. So you go to the shop and buy rasagulas. And it's boga for the deities. And why are you buying rasagulas? Because I like rasagulas. You know, I know that after offering, it will come back and who's going to eat it? Well, you guru much you will eat for sure. But how much you will eat, you know? Who going to eat the rest of the rasagulas? Of course, I'm going to eat the rest of the rasagulas, you know? So then, there is some strings attached. So that's basically sakama. When no strings attached, that's nishkama. So you still make plans, but to please Krishna. And doesn't mean that you have to be a sannyasi for that. Because nishkama karma yoga is actually grihastha duty. It should be grihastha duty. So, but we have to see that everything is connected to Krishna, everything is done for Krishna's pleasure. We clean the floor in the morning in the house because we want, before puja, we have want the house clean. Not be cleaning the house because some guests are coming and want to show that we are good. Okay, so one is our centered around us, one is centered around Krishna. Krishna wakes up in the morning and wants the house to be shining, sparkling, clean. So we clean the whole house. Like that. Is it okay, lad? Anybody listening? Then we end the class. Oh, sorry. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.